Welcome to a discussion of Ayn Rand's radical fundamental principles of freedom. Objectivist perspective on rational self-interest, laissez-faire capitalism, and individual rights. Yaron Brook, Executive Director of the Ayn Rand Institute, invites you to the conversation. The Yaron Brook Show starts now on AM 560, The Answer.
All right, we have a new president, guys. Donald Trump is president of the United States, and I assume most of you heard the inauguration address yesterday, his speech yesterday. Interesting. Very consistent with everything he ran on, very consistent with his campaign themes and with his campaign rhetoric and his campaign mood, if you will. But I want to talk about one aspect of the speech and one of his executive orders that followed. You know, one of the first executive orders that Donald Trump issued yesterday, I think he did a few, but one of the first ones was declaring a national day of patriotism, a national day of patriotism. Now, I don't know exactly what that's going to mean and what that is. Is it a holiday? Do I get to not go to work that day? You know, we'll still see what exactly mean. But one of the themes of the speech yesterday, very much so a theme of the speech, was the need and the virtue of patriotism. Patriotism is going to unite us all. Patriotism is going to make us all feel like one, and we should all be incredibly patriotic. So I want to ask you today, is patriotism a good thing? Is patriotism a good thing? Always? Under what circumstances? What does it mean to be patriotic? What is it? What kind of actions does it lead to? So I'm curious. What do you guys think? Is patriotism a good thing? You can call in 312-642-5600. Is, for example, buying American? Let's buy American. I mean, Trump is big on buy American, build America. You know, everything has to be made in America, produced in America, sold in America. American companies, American individuals making it. Is all that good? Is it good as a consumer to buy American? Is that patriotic? Is patriotism consist of, for example, buying American? If it does, then why? And if it doesn't, what does patriotism consist of? What does it mean to be patriotic? You can call in. You're listening to Yaron Brook Show, 312-642-5600. I'm interested to hear what you have to say about the meaning of patriotism. And should one be patriotic? Should one be patriotic? Today, in America today, in a post-President Obama America, in a Donald Trump America, is patriotism right? Does it make sense? Is it just? And are there circumstances in which you would not be patriotic? Are there circumstances in which you would say, yeah, I don't know, what is patriotism? I think patriotism is a love of country. Basically, let's just think about it basically, a love of country. And to love something means to choose it. So it's to love your chosen country. Your chosen country. That's what I take patriotism to be. Patriotism is a love of your chosen country, usually as of your residence, right? So is that right? So all of you patriots, if my definition is right, and you can call and disagree about my definition, a love of country that is chosen, then if that's right, are you guys patriots? Because how many people out there, don't take this personally, but how many people out there have chosen to be Americans? How many people out there have chosen to be Americans? How many of you, at whatever age, 18 and above, sat down and said, I want to choose the country I'm going to live in for the rest of my life. I want to live in the best damn country in the world. And I'm going to find a place that's best for me. And I, you know, and that's going to generate, I'm going to love that place because it's good for me. I wonder how many people that happened to, because most of us are born into a country like America. And we don't know anything else. We don't choose it. It chooses us. Fate chooses it, right? Most of us don't even think about what is a good country, what isn't a good country, is our country good, isn't our country good. Most of that kind of questions nobody ever really asks. We just accept the country we're born in. We become so-called patriotic about our country, but that's a kind of a mindless patriotism. That's just an accident of birth patriotism. That's not real patriotism. So yeah, 90% of Americans love America, but do they know what America is? Ooh, there's a question. What is America? Is America just the geography? Do we love America because we love the geography? Is that what patriotism represents? I don't think so. I think patriotism refers to the government, to the state. When you're patriotic, it's because you love your country and its political system. And is that true of every country? If I was born in Nazi Germany, would I be a patriot in Nazi Germany? If I was born in Maoist China, would I want to be a patriot of Maoist China? Would I love the country? I might like the scenery. I might love the language. I might love the food. But to love the country is to love its political institutions and everything that they imply. And I wouldn't love China, and I wouldn't love Germany under those regimes. Right? So a country needs to be worthy of one's love. A country needs to be worthy of one's love. And then it's a question of, is a particular country worthy? And then does one choose to go live in that country and manifest that love? All right, we got Nathaniel calling. And Nathaniel, he agrees with Donald Trump. What's up, Nathaniel?
Well, yes, I do, because thank you, Rod. For the first time in my lifetime, we're actually going to have a president that cares about Americans, that puts America first, and that hires Americans. You know, we have had people all over the world taking care of – it's time to take care of our people here at home. So Donald Trump has – he had my vote. He has my support. And buy American and build American and invest in America. That's what this is about, is being patriotic. And I don't know what even Ayn Rand could have to say against that.
A lot. So, you know, none of that is really true, right? I mean, it's not the job of the government. It's not the job of the government to take care of people. It's not the job of the government to take care of us. The job of the government is to protect us, to protect our rights, to leave us alone so that we live our lives as we see fit. And part of that is...
our jobs are lost. You're not getting it.
It's not our jobs. There are no such thing as American jobs. It's my job. There's your job, Nathaniel, and the other people's jobs. And it's the government's job, the government's responsibility, the essence of what a government is not to protect our jobs, as Donald Trump would claim, as now Nathaniel would claim. The job of government is to protect us from coercion. It's to protect us from forces, protect us from authority being enforced on us. It's to allow us to be free. The whole point of government is to facilitate freedom, is to leave us alone so we can live our lives as we see fit. And so I should be able to buy goods from China, from Japan, from Timbuktu. It's none of anybody's business whose goods I buy. And America First is a distortion. If what is meant by America is this empty, false patriotism of a geographic location. But this is an important issue. And thanks, Nathaniel. Thanks for calling. But I want to talk about what is America, because I think this is really important. And then we're gonna bump into a break here. What is America? When you say I love America, what do you mean? I love the people. I love the geography. What is it about America that I love? What I love about America is what America represents. America represents individualism. And the reason I love Americans as people is they live individualism. They are the manifestation of individualism. The idea that the individual is what counts. It's that your personal identity, your moral worth, your rights, your freedoms belong to you. Not because you're a member of some race, class, nation, or some kind of collective, but because you have inalienable rights. Because you other moral entity involved. And you should be judged based on your actions, your values, your virtues, not based on accidental, where you were born, for example. So if America means individualism, the respect for the moral worth of individual, respect for the freedom of the individual, right? A respect for the rights of the individual, then I love America because I love individualism. And I want to see it flourish and I want to see it success. Right? So I'm a patriot if America represents individualism, because I'm a patriot. I love a country that is individualistic. But as America fades, as America becomes more collectivistic, less individualistic, I'm going to be less of a patriot. All right. You're listening to Ron Brooks Show. We'll be right back after this break to talk more about patriots.
Ayn Rand was a radical thinker whose philosophical novels challenged students to reconsider their views on fundamental issues. The Fountainhead, Atlas Shrugged, and Anthem. These works have become classics of American literature that never fail to engage young people and stimulate intense classroom discussion. By offering these works for free to teachers, the Ayn Rand Institute hopes to encourage greater awareness and understanding of Rand's stimulating perspective. If you're a teacher who would like Ayn Rand's books in your classroom, visit AynRand.org. This is at no cost to you. Go to AynRand.org today.
Somewhere in America, at just this moment as you sit listening to this radio show, there is a young person waiting to discover Ayn Rand's novels, waiting to have his or her life changed by the beauty of Ayn Rand's art and the logic of her ideas. Through ARI's Free Books to Teachers program, we have delivered more than 3 million copies of Ayn Rand's books to schools in every state. You can help us reach young minds today. Make your tax-deductible contribution now at AynRand.org/support.
Intrigued, inspired, and possibly even angered. Welcome back to the Yaron Brooks Show on AM 560, The Answer.
All right, we are talking about patriotism today. And I know a lot of you out there have various views about this issue, so I encourage you to call me. Call me, 312-642-5600. Are you a patriot? Are you a patriot? When it comes to America, are you a patriot? And what does that mean to you? What does it mean to you when you say, I am a patriot? Does it just mean kind of blood and soil and the flag and I love the flag? Or what does it mean? What does America mean to you? What does it represent to you? Again, just the particular people that happen to be here right now and the particular geography. Or does it mean something more to you? And I said, to me, it means something a lot more. To me, it means something a lot more. It means an idea of human liberty and human freedom, of individual rights and individualism. But are you a patriot? 312-642-5600. Does that mean you go to war to fight for your country? Is that what a patriot does? What does a patriot do? What does it mean to say, I'm patriotic? 312-642-5600. And finally, is buying American patriotic? Is buying American good for America? So, don't let Nathaniel be the only caller. Patriotism, it's a love of the country you choose to live in. Now, I happen to be a patriot. I love America. I fight almost daily for America. I believe that America represents something. It's an idea. It's this idea of individualism, of freedom, of individual rights. And I'm willing to fight for those rights, fight over the radio, fight in person. Luckily, I don't have to go to war yet with guns and ammunition in order to do it. But I'm not willing to just fight for America no matter what. If America was a bad country, if America turned into a bad country that did not respect rights and freedom and liberty, I don't want to fight for it. Right? I would choose a different country. I would get up and pack and leave. Would any of you leave America? If you thought fighting for it was no longer possible, if freedom was not possible, what would be your breaking point? Would you, all the lefties always say, hey, if Donald Trump gets elected, I'm going to move to Canada. And I know some conservatives said, if Hillary Clinton's going to win, I'm going to move to Canada. How many of you would actually move to Canada or wherever, New Zealand or wherever your dream place is? I, for one, if the country got bad enough, would move. I've moved already. I can say I'm a patriot, partially because I, as compared to most of you, I chose to live here. I wasn't born here. I'm an immigrant. One of the things I think that is so horrible about the demonization of immigrants, is the fact that immigrants, in many respects, are the true patriots. They come here because they want to live here. Most of us were born here, and it's all we know. It's all we know. It's not that we chose. This is it. We're Americans because we were born that way. Luck of the draw. So I have a huge amount of respect for immigrants who choose to live here, who choose to make a life here, who choose to raise their kids here, and, of course, who are productive and good people. All right, we get Angelo, who I guess is I'm missing the point, or he's missing the point. I don't know. What's up, Angelo?
How you doing? I was just listening to your show. The only thing I have to say is I think what he means by make America great is that all these other countries can import their stuff here, and we have a totally free market. Yet when we import our stuff over there, for example, to China, we're taxed, there's tariffs. And I think what he's trying to say is we should have that same respect with your stuff. Yeah. If you're going to bring it over here, we should use the same taxes and tariffs that you use against us when we bring our stuff over there. Our markets are always open. Our markets are always free. Yet when we want to put our products into your country, we're faced with a huge amount of tariffs and a huge amount of taxes. That's what I think puts America back a little bit. And what he wants to do is bring America forward and make it an even playing field.
Yeah, so let's talk about that, Angela, because you're right. I mean, that's what he means by it, and you're right in the sense that America has some of the lowest tariffs in the world. It's not free, and we have some very high tariffs, for example, on steel and other things. But generally, we have very low tariffs, yet other countries have higher tariffs, like China. But that is not good. It's not good for America to mimic what China does, because who pays the higher tariffs that China has? The Chinese do. What China is doing when it raises tariffs is screwing their own people. It's making their own people worse off. And we, Americans, are benefiting enormously from the fact that we can buy relatively cheap things from China, from Japan, from Germany, from these other countries, because our government is not taxing us. Tariffs are just a tax. As a consequence, we have more money left over to buy other things. Some of them made in America, some of them made elsewhere, but to raise our standard of living. Some of that money that we get to keep, we get to invest in our own businesses and grow those businesses and employ people and so on. But also beyond that, when we buy stuff from China, they get dollar bills. What do they do with those dollar bills? Well, there are only two things they have they can do with those dollars. They can either buy American stuff and put the dollars back into the United States, and that's export. And then they pay tariffs and they pay taxes, and that's not good for them. Or they can invest the money in the United States, like buying government bonds or buying some of our real estate or buying some of our industry. And then they're investing in the country. So this whole issue of tariffs, I mean, with all due respect to Donald Trump, he doesn't know economics. He's just unbelievably ignorant. The best policy for America, if you want to really make America first in the sense of benefiting the American people, we should have zero tariffs. And the rest of the world can do whatever they want with their own tariffs. But we, for Americans, the best policy is zero tariffs. And this is basic economics that was proved by Adam Smith 240 years ago in his famous book, The Wealth of Nations. Every economist in the world today agrees with this. And Donald Trump is going back to a mercantilist, anti-capitalist view of trade. So America first. America first would mean zero tariffs, not Trump's policy of tariffs. That's a real bad. If the Chinese want tariffs, bad for them. It's indifferent for us.
I just think if America starts reinvesting in their factories, in their workmanship, and start leaving it in America, I think we're going to compete and jobs are going to be created. And I think the lower class and the working class people are going to have good wages. And I just think that can't be bad for America.
Well, it is. It's very bad for America if we do that by increasing tariffs and by restricting people's ability to export and import. If we do it by reducing regulations, if we do it by reducing taxes, if we do it by reducing, all the regulations on, on labor laws and all the regulations on starting a business and all the crap that the government forces down businesses' throats. If we start investing because of that, that'd be great. But look, we today employ more people than ever before, and we produce, in terms of manufacturing, more stuff than we ever have in American history. We do it with half the number of people because we use computers and we use robots, and we're really, really efficient. We need to invest more in that, and the way to get us to invest more in that is not to penalize us for buying stuff from China. It's by reducing regulations, reducing taxes, reducing government obstruction for investment and growth and profit-making in America.
I think what you just said is the reason why Donald Trump was elected, because I think he's exactly going to try and accomplish that exact statement that you just made.
I hope you're right. I agree with you.
And there's too many pages to everything that the government does, and it's waste and waste and waste. And I think you finally have a president that understands that and wants business to succeed.
I hope you're right, Angela. Thanks for calling, and hope you keep listening to the show. But absolutely, you're right. If that's what he really believes, then I'm all for it. But he all the time talks about trade. Bring jobs back. You can't bring jobs back. Jobs didn't go away. Most of the jobs were lost to technology. And trade barriers and tariffs will destroy jobs in America and would raise the cost of living in America, would hurt the working class. They will hurt people who have low income because they're the ones who buy at Walmart. They're the ones who are buying the Chinese goods for cheap. So if you want to expand jobs in America, if you want to grow businesses in America, if you want to produce more stuff in America, lower trade restrictions, lower tariffs. Make it easy for companies to move back and forth, and at the same time, eliminate regulations. Wipe them out. Cut taxes. I would slash taxes. Make it incredibly profitable to invest in America. Make it incredibly profitable to employ in America. Make it incredibly profitable to do business in America. And if Donald Trump does that, good for him, but he never talks about that. He talks mostly about how foreigners have stolen our stuff, which is complete BS. That's a zero-sum mentality. Trade is win-win. You're listening to Iran Book Show. We'll be right back to talk more about patriotism.
When The Fountainhead was first published more than 70 years ago, Ayn Rand's bold literary vision and groundbreaking philosophy of individualism captured the world's attention. Initially rejected by 12 publishers as too intellectual, the novel became an instant classic and continues to provoke heated debates. What motivates a creative thinker? Is it a selfless desire to benefit mankind, a hunger for fame, fortune, and accolades, the need to prove superiority? Or is it a self-sufficient drive to pursue a creative vision independent of others' needs or opinions? Ayn Rand addresses these questions through her portrayal of Howard Roark, an innovative architect who, as she puts, struggles for the integrity of his creative work against every form of social opposition. It's also the story of his love affair with a woman who seeks to defeat him. The Fountainhead is as relevant today as it was when Rand first penned it. The novel was also a personal landmark for Rand. In Howard Roark, she presented for the first time the uniquely Ayn Rand hero, man as he could be and ought to be. Order your copy today at Amazon.com. The Ayn Rand Institute campus is an exciting online destination offering free e-courses on Ayn Rand and her revolutionary philosophy of objectivism. Whether you recently picked up your first Rand book or have been reading her novels and nonfiction for years, ARI Campus has something for you. On campus, you'll discover a variety of multimedia courses covering Rand's literary classics, specific aspects of thought, and how to apply her ideas to your life. Get started today at campus.aynrand.org. See you on campus.
Ayn Rand was a radical thinker whose philosophical novels challenged students to reconsider their views on fundamental issues. The Fountainhead, Atlas Shrugged, and Anthem. These works have become classics of American literature that never fail to engage young people and stimulate intense classroom discussion. By offering these works for free to teachers, the Ayn Rand Institute hopes to encourage greater awareness and understanding of Rand's stimulating perspective. If you're a teacher who would like Ayn Rand's books in your classroom, visit AynRand.org. This is at no cost to you. Go to AynRand.org today.
No traditional conservative view, nor the standard libertarian ones. Welcome back to the discussion of Ayn Rand's radical fundamental principles of freedom. This is the Yaron Brook Show on AM 560, The Answer.
All right, we're talking about patriotism today, and we got a bunch of callers. The board is just lighting up here. So I'm gonna go right to Tammy. and she wants to talk about what makes America great. Go ahead, Tammy.
I was just calling in when you were talking about the individualism and why people are patriotic or why they come here and what makes America America.
So what makes America America? What do you think?
People want to come here are our laws and our Constitution. That's what built this country. That's what this country's based on. And without it, you have nothing.
People I agree with you completely, Tammy.
They did not have rights.
I agree. And our Constitution is based on a principle. It's not just a random set of rules like the European Constitution or other countries' Constitution. Our Constitution is truly a historically unique document. It's based on a principle, and the principle is the principle of individualism. The whole point of the Constitution is to protect the rights of the individual, to protect the rights of an individual from infringement by its own government and from other people. So we are the only country in history that was founded on the idea of freedom, on the idea of individual rights. And our laws and our constitutions are all supposed to be, at least the laws once upon a time, not so much the laws today, to protect the individual. That was the basic idea behind our legal system. And you're right, that's what makes America great. What makes America great is our Constitution, is our Declaration of Independence, and the good laws versus a lot of the garbage that were passed in an attempt to manifest that Constitution in the protection of individual rights. Is that right? Am I expressing your thoughts, Tammy?
Yeah, I just think, like you said, that we all have our individual freedoms, and of course they've been tampered with when they keep writing all these unconstitutional executive orders.
Well,
I think
it would be nice.
A lot of rights have been taken away, and hopefully Trump can restore them.
Well, I think that our rights have been taken away now for over 100 years, and it's going to take more than one administration to get them all back. Thank you, Tammy. Really appreciate your call. It's going to take many administrations with a lot better ideas than I think Donald Trump has to really get our rights back and to get us to where we truly respect the Constitution. Even our Supreme Court, even many of the conservative judges on the Supreme Court don't get rights and don't get where rights come from and don't get how to imply rights, so that we have hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of laws on the book that I believe are anti-constitutional. They go against the Constitution. And it would take a very brave and very smart administration. I don't think Trump is the right guy, but to really unwind that and to give us back the rights and to return America to what it used to be, the land of the free and the land of individual rights. All right, we're going to take a call from Christian, who is a patriot, a vet, and he wants to talk about immigrants. Hey, Christian.
Hey, yeah. I think everything you said was right on as far as I'm following you. Everything I'm hearing you, I'm just really a first-time listening, first-time calling, and everything you said from the moment I started listening to the end of the air today has told me I'm listening to the right guy.
Well, I appreciate that.
You know, the ideas you're spouting and the stuff you're talking about are exactly how I feel, and I tell you, I've served this country, and I've been a part of this country, and I'm part of the tech community in the world today, and I know there's lots of regulations and laws that have gotten in the way of other businesses, and I'm hoping that ours doesn't go that way, and the idea of this new administration that isn't really Republican and isn't really Democrat gives me great hope. I know it's not the end-all, be-all, and that Donald Trump doesn't have it all right, and I get that, but I think I think we're headed in the right direction. And if you employ some smart people, we might have a chance at getting the things you were talking about.
Well, I appreciate that, Christian, and I appreciate your support. But and look, I agree with you. I'm hopeful. I'm wary, but hopeful. I worry about Donald Trump. I worry about what he says. I hear a lot of negative things that he says that I don't agree with. But I'm hoping that at the end of the day, he surrounds himself with good people and he does a few good things. And I hear Americans everywhere that are so desperate for change. They just want to get on with their lives. They want America to return to greatness, greatness in a proper sense, greatness in a sense of freedom, greatness in a sense of respecting individual rights, greatness in respect of capitalism and free markets and everything America, I think, really represents and stands for, and greatness in a sense of embracing those people who come here because they love America and because they love freedom, right? And that's the point about immigrants.
So you talked about loving immigrants and immigrants being a big thing, and I think that's true. And I think Donald Trump follows that line and says, "Yeah, immigrants are great. Let's make sure they're legal."
Yeah,
no problem.
Well, thanks, Christian. That music suggests we're out of time. We're going for a break. You know, we'll talk when I get back. I want to talk a little bit about illegal versus legal immigration, but we're talking about patriotism today on the Yaron Brook Show. And by the way, you can follow me on Twitter and Facebook, Yaron Brook, YaronBrook.
For 30 years, the Ayn Rand Institute has been on the front lines of the culture wars, introducing millions of students to Ayn Rand's books and ideas, educating young intellectuals who now teach at universities around the world, and speaking out in defense of free speech, free markets, free minds. You can join their battle for reason, individualism, and capitalism here in Chicago and around the nation by making your contribution today at AynRand.org/support. That's AYNRAND.org/SUPPORT.
Somewhere in America, at just this moment as you sit listening to this radio show, there is a young person waiting to discover Ayn Rand's novels, waiting to have his or her life changed by the beauty of Ayn Rand's art and the logic of her ideas. Through ARI's Free Books to Teachers program, we have delivered more than 3 million copies of Ayn Rand's books to schools in every state. You can help us reach young minds today. Make your tax-deductible contribution now at AynRand.org/support.
Intrigued, inspired, and possibly even angered. Welcome back to the Yaron Brook Show on AM 560, The Answer.
All right, we are talking about patriotism and Donald Trump and trade and a bunch of different things. But I did want to comment quickly on this illegal immigration thing. I'm going to get back to it. We'll have to do a show on this. It's hard to do in 2 seconds. But let me just say this. I'm all for all immigrants coming into this country legally. But we have to recognize the fact that we as a country have made it really, really hard to get into this country. We've made it almost impossible to come here legally. We've restricted immigration in so many different ways. And by the way, this is a democratic thing, right? It's a democratic thing. Republicans were supposed to be the party pro-immigration. Certainly Reagan was pro-immigration. But since 1968, we've made it very difficult to get here, to come and work, to come and actually do something that is, to actually live in the United States by producing and not to be a leech. So I understand completely people who try to get here illegally. I understand that because we have made, our laws are so stupid. Our laws are so restrictive that I can completely understand people who came here illegally. I mean, I often say I came here legally. I came as a student, and then it took me 13 years to get citizenship, and I went through all the hoops and all the visas and all the nonsense and all the BS in order to get to a point where I could become an American citizen. If I couldn't have done that, if I couldn't have come here legally, I would have found a way illegally to do it. My life is more important than immigration laws and irrational immigration laws, which is what we have today. I didn't come to this country to leech off of it. I came here to produce and to create and to build a life for myself, my family, and my kids. And I was not going to give that up. And I respect people who won't give that up. Respect people who admire this country because it is the land of freedom, because it is the land that offers them opportunity to live in a way that they can't live anywhere else in the world and who want to come here for that. All right. We're going to switch topics quickly, go back to the issue of patriotism, and Andre wants to talk about patriotism and Russia or something like that. Go ahead, Andre. What's up?
Yeah. Hello, Mr. Yaron Brook. I'm originally from Russia. I've lived there for 15 years, and I moved legally to the United States with my father and my family. And I wanted to say that patriotism right now is a very discredited term, like the left, the right, liberalism, and conservative, because I think for the most people, patriotism means irrational behavior that you support your country irrationally without any understanding why do you support it just because you have born it, you were born in it. I've seen
I agree with
in,
you, Andre.
Russia for 15 years. Yeah. I've seen it in United States. I've seen it in
I
the
agree
United
because
States right
often
now.
Because often patriotism is irrational. Often patriotism is only emotional. Often patriotism is just an accident of I was born here, therefore I love this place, therefore I support it, therefore I'm willing to fight for it. Even if, let's say in the case of Russia right now, you have an autocrat like Putin running things, people are patriotic, or like Germany under under Hitler or whatever. So patriotism has got a bad name because it is often not objective patriotism, but subjective, but emotional, and driven by irrationality, as you've described. But I would differentiate that from what I consider rational patriotism. Rational patriotism is patriotism for a country that represents truly pro-human values, that represents freedom, that represents individualism. And I think anybody who comes to America and thinks about why they want to live in America and values America for the right reasons, that's patriotism.
Yep.
That's
right.
The right kind of patriotism. So I worry, I agree with you. I worry about the irrational patriotism. And what happens is the irrational people give patriotism a bad rap, a bad reputation. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Just I think that using this term right now when most people understand it as irrational behavior is not the right thing to do, and probably in the discussion of this issue, we should develop a new term and show people that the ideas and the people and the ideas they embrace, the philosophy they embrace, is more important than the country in which you were born.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I only would say that starting a new term is very difficult. So I would say rational patriotism. Rational patriotism. So patriotism based on thinking, based on ideas, based on values. Thanks, Andre. Thanks for calling. I completely agree with you. It is, and I think the way Donald Trump uses it is dangerous. And I think the way Donald Trump uses it is not necessarily in the rational sense of the word. And as a consequence, he uses it more as a nationalist term, more as nationalism. And this way he ties it to trade, which is completely irrational. It's irrational to have tariffs. It's irrational to have trade barriers. It's irrational to talk about other countries stealing our wealth when we're trading with them, which means it's a win-win situation. All those things are irrational. And then to defend all that in the name of patriotism gives America and patriotism a bad name, a bad name. And this is my biggest, one of my biggest critiques of Obama, of Trump. Is that he does this, and it's wrong, and it's not. It's really bad for the country, for each one of us as individuals. All right, I'm going to get to this call from Preet, but I'm going to do it after the break. We've only got about 50 seconds right now before the break, so I want to give her a chance to talk. I want to encourage you to follow me on Twitter and to like me on Facebook. It's Yaron, Y-A-R-O-N, Brook, B-R-O-O-K. And actually, on Facebook, it's Ybrook, Y-B-R-O-O-K. And, of course, I'm here, on this station every week. So please keep on listening. You can also look me up on iTunes. I have a podcast. So just Google me put my name on YouTube and you'll find a bunch of great videos of me giving some great lectures. I'm not the most modest person, but I think I have reason not to be too modest. We'll be back to talk to Preeti after this break.
When The Fountainhead was first published more than 70 years ago, Ayn Rand's bold literary vision and groundbreaking philosophy of individualism captured the world's attention. Initially rejected by 12 publishers as too intellectual, the novel became an instant classic and continues to provoke heated debates. What motivates a creative thinker? Is it a selfless desire to benefit mankind, a hunger for fame, fortune, and accolades, the need to prove superiority, or is it a self-sufficient drive to pursue a creative vision independent of others' needs or opinions? Ayn Rand addresses these questions through her portrayal of Howard Roark, an innovative architect who, as she puts, struggles for the integrity of his creative work against every form of social opposition. It's also the story of his love affair with a woman who seeks to defeat him. The Fountainhead is as relevant today as it was when Rand first penned it. The novel was also a personal landmark for Rand. In Howard Roark, she presented for the first time the uniquely Ayn Rand hero, man as he could be and ought to be. Order your copy today at Amazon.com.
Yaron Brook, executive director of the Ayn Rand Institute, speaks to audiences around the world, promoting Ayn Rand's ideas in talks and books. Now, he's on your radio, here on AM 560, The Answer.
Hey, thanks everybody for listening today. This is the Yaron Brook Show. And we're talking about patriotism. We're talking about some other issues, Trump and free trade and other things. But all centered around this idea of rational patriotism versus irrational patriotism. I'm big on rational patriotism. The idea of loving a country because of the ideas it represents, when those ideas are good ideas, those ideas are pro-individual rights ideas, those ideas are pro-freedom ideas. That's why I'm a patriot for America, not a patriot for any other country. But I also want to take this call from Preeti, who's been waiting quite a bit of time. So hi, Preeti. How's it going?
Hi.
I hope I'm not butchering your name.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Preeti.
Hi. Hi, my name is Preeti. And if patriotism is about defending the values that your country stands for, then how can we be friends with countries like Saudi Arabia? And if we sever ties with countries like Saudi Arabia, what happens to our energy needs? And how would an objectivist answer this question?
Sure. I mean, I don't think we should have ties to Saudi Arabia. I think Saudi Arabia is an enemy of the United States. I don't think it's our friend. Saudi Arabia funds radical Islamic ideology all over the world, including in the United States, in mosques in the United States, is a spot where people are radicalized towards terrorism and to kill Americans. Saudi Arabia, if we want to do what Donald Trump said yesterday, which is to eradicate Islamic totalitarianism, then the number one thing we need to do is penalize Saudi Arabia for their behavior. And that means cutting off all ties to them. Now, to begin with, cutting off all ties. It might mean a lot more than that, depending on how they behave. But what does that mean for energy? It doesn't mean much for energy. I mean, we have today in the United States plenty of oil reserves to take care of ourselves. Mexico has a lot of oil, the North Sea. And the fact is that if we really wanted to, we could militarily go to Saudi Arabia and take the oil fields and control the oil and tell the royal family, with all due respect to them, to go shove it. Because the royal family, since when do we accept the idea that the royal families own stuff, that they control stuff? So I would prefer to return the oil that was discovered by American, French, and British companies, developed by American, French, and British companies, and stolen by the Saudi royal family. I would prefer to return those to proper ownership, to private ownership, rather than grovel before a Saudi king legitimize what they are doing in the world, sanction what they're doing in the world to radicalize Muslims everywhere towards anti-Americanism and terrorism. So I agree with you. You know, we should not have anything to do with Saudi Arabia. That makes sense?
But does that mean we should go to war with Saudi Arabia?
Potentially, if they continue to fund our enemies, then absolutely. But war for Saudi Arabia is not a big deal. Saudi Arabia basically has very little military. They depend on the United States completely for military support and for military defense. A war with Saudi Arabia would be very short, very easy to win, and would not require much of us. But I'm not advocating for that. What I'd first advocate is cutting off ties and putting huge amount of pressure on them to change their ways and make it clear that we view the way they run the government and their ideology as anti-American and evil. Preeti, thank you for calling. We're out of time, basically. You've been listening to Yaron Brook Show. We've talked about patriotism. Think about, are you a patriot and what that means? Be a rational patriot. Thanks. This is the Yaron Brook Show.
This
signing
has been
off.
The Yaron Brook Show with your radical for capitalism host, Yaron Brook. Keep the discussion going. Log on to AynRand.org. your portal to the Ayn Rand Institute. Learn how to apply Ayn Rand's principles in your own life. And make sure you tune in next Saturday afternoon at 4 for another hour of dynamic Ayn Rand discussion. The Yaron Brooks Show on AM 560. The Answer.